Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's begin with boxing. Andre Ward of the USA takes on Sergey Kovalev of Russia on Saturday night in this weekend's marquee matchup. It's a world title fight between undefeated boxers with different styles in the ring. Kovalev will be defending his WBA, WBO, and IBF light heavyweight belts. The Russian is nicknamed Crusher because of his formidable boxing power. 26 of Crusher's 30 wins have come by knockout. He's also had one draw that came against American Grover Young, no relation, in 2011. And that fight proved controversial. In the second round, Crusher Kovalev threw a left hook to the head, but the judges suggested it was a blow to the back of the head, an accidental foul. Young was not able to continue, and the fight was declared a technical draw. Andre Ward, meanwhile, won the gold medal in the light heavyweight class at the 2004 Athens Olympics. Since turning professional, he's won all 30 of his prize fights, 15 by knockout. Ward is regarded as one of the sport's most complete boxers, a man who uses his speed and ring intelligence to counterpunch and control the pace of fights. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta, is picking Andre Ward to win, but Namdi adds this world title bout hasn't generated much electricity among fight fans.
There's really not much buzz for this fight. This fight is happening at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. We're not really excited because one guy is a puncher, the other guy is a boxer, and we believe the boxer will win the fight easily. The knockout artists will be running, looking for knockout all night, but at the end of it all, we're going to end up seeing one boring fight. That's why tickets are not selling. That's why the pay-per-view numbers are not going to be high.
Meanwhile, two-time Olympic boxing champion Clarissa Shields of the USA will be making her professional debut on the undercard of the Ward-Kovalev main event in Las Vegas. The 21-year-old Shields will fight American countrywoman and former USA boxing teammate Franchon Cruz in a four-round bout. Shields is also the subject of my latest Sunny Side of Sports blog post. You can read it at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Layla Ali, the daughter of the late heavyweight champion Muhammad Ali, was the last big-name star in women's pro boxing. Layla competed from 1999 to 2007, and she retired undefeated with 24 consecutive wins. Clarissa Shields is confident she can surpass Layla Ali's accomplishments in the ring and do so quickly.
I think that maybe within a year or two, I'll be known as the best female boxer to ever live. So within a year or two. So I'm taking that with pride, and I'm going to do my best in every boxing match and every opportunity that I get, I'm going to take full advantage of it.
That's two-time Olympic boxing champion Clarissa Shields of the USA, who makes her professional debut on Saturday night in Las Vegas, Nevada. Shields is the subject of my latest Sunny Side of Sports blog post.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Olympic wrestling champion Helen Maroulis says her path to the gold medal in Rio de Janeiro in August was a 17-year process that included more than a few obstacles. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2016, Let's listen in again as Helen talks about her start in wrestling.
When I started wrestling, I was maybe one other girl in the state of Maryland that wrestled, and I grew up wrestling boys, and a lot of times they didn't like that. So there were a lot of times coaches would try and make me quit, or they would, kind of just put guys against me and say, okay, just kind of beat her up until she doesn't come back. And it wasn't that I was, some super tough girl and put my foot down and, nobody can stop me. It wasn't even like that. It was just, man, I really love this. I'm getting beat up, but I still really love this sport, so I'm just going to come back tomorrow. And I'm like, eventually I'll probably get beat up until I start getting better, so I guess I'll learn from this. And people come around, and I think part of it is just it seems taboo to people, or they don't know my reasons or intentions. But when they see that I love the sport and that, I have a dream with it and that I work hard, people change their approach.
Helen, I'm looking at an article by Philip Chrysopoulos, reporter for the USAGreekReporter.com website, and he quotes you as saying you're Greek by birth, wrestler by heart, passionate about life. Can you talk about your Greek background?
Yeah, my dad was born in Greece. And if you know anything about Greeks, they're proud. Whether you're 50% or 100%, you're going to be a proud Greek. And all my family in Greece, they're super excited for me. And my dad's from this really tiny island. And I got the crazy Greek grandma that cooks food and forces you to eat and would not let me say no. I mean, I'm like, the hardest part maybe might have been worrying about if I was going to ruin my relationship with her, because it would just, I'd go to her house and she'd put plates of cookies and food and everything on, and I'm like trying to explain to her what a diet is. I'm trying to explain to her like that my work requires me to lose weight, and she just, I can't even say she didn't get it. She did get it. She just didn't care. She's like, no, you have to eat. 5 cookies won't make you gain any weight. And I'm like, yes, it will. So that was very, very difficult. And but after now, I brought the medal over to her house, and she was screaming Panda Axia, and then fed me. So I'm like, now I can eat. So it was awesome.
So if you have your grandmother around over the next 4 years, you might be maybe wrestling at a higher weight class in Tokyo?
Yep, I'm going to wrestle up, and I'm going to take a break. And this year for Christmas, I will definitely eat my grandma's food. I'm trying to get back into her good graces. So that's what I'm blaming my weight gain on.
For our VOA listeners, you wrestled in Rio at 53 kilos. Correct me if I'm wrong, Helen. That's about 117 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking ahead, do you think you'll stay at that weight class or maybe go up a little bit?
Yeah, I'm not going to stay at that weight class. It's not realistic for me to stay on that, like, day after day after day, like, or year after year. I mean, I'm not making any final decisions about what weight I'll go for 2020. That's 4 years away. I don't know yet. So, I mean, we'll see. And if there's anything I've seen, it's your body can fluctuate tremendously. I've been 13% body fat at 59 kilos a couple months ago, and then it's like, well, that's great. I feel great. I look great. But this wasn't the weight class I planned to make. So, it's almost like Plato, like, all right, how do I shape my body to fit a weight class that I need to make? And so I think I've learned for myself that I can do that. So I would love to try and get back to that point where I'm lean and big and strong for the 58 weight class. And for all I know, maybe actually relaxing for a couple years will just kind of help my body to stabilize. And that might be at a lower weight, that might be higher. So I'm going to make the decision based on what's best for my body. And to think that I know what that is right now without training or anything, it just wouldn't be smart to make that call.
I'm talking with Olympic champion wrestler Helen Maroulis of the USA. Helen, you mentioned your Greek heritage. And, Greece has such a great relationship with first the Olympics, but also just with sports and wrestling overall. I think wrestling is probably one of the original Olympic sports, thousands of years ago. Does that make it more special in some way?
Yeah, I think wrestling, you know, to me, when I think of the Olympics, I always think of wrestling first just because it was the oldest sport. And I actually, when they dropped wrestling from the Olympics, we went to Greece and we wrestled in ancient Olympia. And I was one of the first females to wrestle on the ancient Olympic grounds. And they brought a mat and they put it out in ancient Olympia. And they had a tournament there. And so that was really amazing to be a part of and just to learn. You know, they gave us a tour of the ancient Olympic grounds, and they just taught us about the history of the Olympics and what it meant, you know, how it was a time for peace, and it was just amazing. So to know about it from that extent, it makes it, you know, very special.
There was another report I read, Helen, that said you were considering getting dual citizenship with Greece and the USA. Is that still in the works, or is that on hold?
That had nothing to do with that has nothing to do with wrestling in the Olympics. That's just something that I've always wanted to do. And, you know, my father's full Greek and I'm 50%. So I just always grew up hearing from my family, oh, why don't you get dual citizenship? You know, faster airport lines, or, you know, you can come here and things like that. And so in the same way I've wanted to study abroad in Greece for most of my life, I just, you know, that's always been something. So that's kind of unrelated to the Olympics, and that is something that I would still like to do and plan to do.
That's Olympic wrestling champion Helen Maroulis of the USA. And that interview with Helen originally aired in September, about 1 month after she won the gold medal in Brazil. Helen Maroulis talked about her Greek heritage and Greece's relationship with sports. Kostas Panagopoulos is the president of the Greek Athletics Federation. In a recent interview with the energetic Andy Edwards, the Greek official talked about the authentic Athens Marathon once again attracting elite athletes.
Let me say how happy we are, because after a year of absence, we have again elite athletes with us at the Athens Marathon. I am confident that this is going to continue the years to come. Last year, we had enormous problems, capital controls, austerity measures. But our goal, our steady goal, is to have elite athletes and, if possible, year after year, better and better athletes. Our aim is to break the record of the course. I know that it is difficult. I recognize that we have a difficult course, so it's very difficult to have a new record. We will try this year. And we will keep trying in the future because, you know, the Athens Marathon has to be not only a huge in terms of participants marathon, but also an elite in terms of records and time marathon.
I think it's fair to say that Greece and the Greek people are still facing problems. The situation is far from resolved in terms of economic status. How does that apply to you when you're trying to find funding for the marathon?
Well, the truth is that we still within a severe economic and social crisis. Things are very difficult. The market is suffering. Thanks God, the event is so big. And I have to say that our sponsorship program is very well scheduled, that we still have the trust of the market. So we still have all our sponsors. And this is crucially important for us because, as perhaps you know, the Athens Marathon has as only financial source the sponsorship program. And that means that we can do a few steps more year after year in order to promote the race all over the world and to increase the quality of the services we are offering and, of course, to invite better and better elite athletes in order to try to break the record.
And just lastly, in terms of the mass runners, quite a few foreign runners come to the Athens Marathon and some of them do return. So that's an important part of your profile, do you feel, to have the mass runners, to make it an attraction to come and run on the classic course?
That's true. Well, after all, we are the authentic marathon. And I hope that every marathon runner in the world has as a dream just once in his lifetime to be at the original course, at the authentic course. So this is the way we're promoting the Athens Marathon all over the world. Run the authentic. Be part of the history.
Well, Mr. Panagopoulos, thank you very much.
Thank
all the
you.
Best. Thank you.
And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for that interview with Kostas Panagopoulos, the president of the Greek Athletics Federation in Athens.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page today, Thursday, you'll see a photo of Toronto Raptors basketball star DeMar DeRozan, who is currently leading the NBA in scoring. DeRozan fired in a team-high 34 points Wednesday night in Toronto, but it wasn't enough because the high-octane Golden State Warriors defeated the Raptors 127-121. It was the fifth consecutive victory for the Warriors, who lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA Finals in June. Two-time League Most Valuable Player Stephen Curry scored a game-high 35 points for the Warriors, while Kevin Durant, Golden State's prized offseason acquisition, tallied 30 points. While the Warriors have a five-game winning streak, the Atlanta Hawks have spread their wings. They've won six games in a row. The Hawks soared over the Milwaukee Bucks Wednesday night, 107-100. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for Latvian big man Kristaps Porzingis of the New York Knicks. He scored a career-high 35 points to help the Knicks get past the visiting Detroit Pistons 105-102 at Madison Square Garden in New York. In Indianapolis, the host Indiana Pacers took advantage of Cleveland resting superstar LeBron James, and they beat the defending NBA champion Cavaliers 103-93. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Just did a little NBA wrap there. Is the NBA trending on this Thursday?
It is. It's one of a few stories that are trending that will, say, cover the theme of love.
So love,
it's a nice,
I like
a nice,
that.
You know, it's been, like I said, a crazy couple weeks here in the U.S., the election, a lot of contentious back and forth. Let's talk about love today.
A softer side.
Softer side. And we'll start in the NBA with Drake, of course, the famous rapper, and his love for his beloved Toronto Raptors. Of course, he's from Toronto. Last night at that game, the Golden State Warriors-Toronto Raptors game in Toronto, it was Drake night. So they were honoring Drake for his love for the Toronto Raptors and let him do a little, you know, his courtside commentary and gave a little press conference afterwards. But what really captured social media's attention was the shirt that Drake was wearing. And it said, "Woman Crush Every Day," and had a picture of ESPN broadcaster Doris Burke on it. Now, of course, usually in social media, Wednesdays are Woman Crush Wednesdays. So he wore this on Wednesday night saying, "Woman Crush Every Day," with the picture of Doris Burke. I guess he's a fan, maybe a little bit of a crush on her. Well, she tweeted at him and she said, "Drake, dinner is on," with a heart emoji. So I'm going to be getting dinner together. There might be a budding romance. I don't know. At least if not a romance, maybe just some admiration there.
So was she at the game also?
She was there at the game, I believe, and was able to comment on that. I don't know if she interacted with Drake during the game, but at least she saw it after the fact, you know, and talked about it on social media. So some nice love there.
A little love trend there, Andrew.
Yes.
I like that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, what else is on the love trend beat this evening, Andrew?
Well, we've got some love for Max Scherzer and Rick Porcello. Max Scherzer, of course, the pitcher for the Washington Nationals, one of the pitchers for the Washington Nationals here in D.C., winning the National League Cy Young Award. Now, this is the award at the end of the season for the best pitcher in each of the two leagues, the National League and the American League, as voted on by the Baseball Writers Association of America. So Max Scherzer wins that award. So getting some love from the baseball writers, one of only six players ever, one of only six pitchers to win the award in the National League and the American League. He won it back in 2013 for the Detroit Tigers in the American League. So some love for Max Scherzer and love for Rick Porcello, but of an interesting kind of sort. Rick Porcello of the Boston Red Sox wins the Cy Young Award for the American League. However, he did not receive the most first-place votes. The way they tabulate who wins the Cy Young Award is they rank the players. They give them first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and they allot points, weighted points, based on that. So it was actually Justin Verlander who won the most first-place votes. So there's no love lost from Kate Upton, who is, of course, the model, and she's been in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. She is Justin Verlander's girlfriend, so she took to Twitter and did not have some very kind words for the Baseball Writers Association and the way they tabulated this, saying that her boyfriend, Justin Verlander, should get the award because he got the most first-place votes. In fact, Rick Porcello of the Boston Red Sox didn't get any first-place votes. So no love lost for Kate Upton and the baseball writers taking aim at them on social media.
Andrew, I don't know if you love baseball, but I think you like baseball and you follow it. So why don't we do a little trivia this evening? You mentioned Max Scherzer winning that Cy Young Award in both leagues, the National League and American League. Put you on the spot this evening with a little Major League Baseball trivia. Can you name the player who won the Most Valuable Player Award in both the American League and National League? Now retired. He's been retired for many years.
Oh, gosh.
And he has some ties to our beloved Washington Nationals right here in Washington.
You know, I was really hoping the trivia was going to be name the other pitchers who won it. Because I said that on the radio this morning, so I know those ones at least. But oh, gosh, I think I would just embarrass myself if I even tried to guess, but I'm going to hit my head when I hear it, because I'm sure.
Frank Robinson.
Frank
Robinson. He won the award in both leagues, and I think he did some managing initially with the Nationals.
He was, I believe, the first manager when
the
Nats
came to town.
When they
first started out.
Yep.
So we'll give him a shout-out this evening.
Absolutely.
And,
well-deserved.
A little love.
A little love for Frank Robinson, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, we have some love from LeBron James. Of course, we were talking about him sitting in the game last night, and that did not inspire a lot of love with fans. There were a lot of fans who took to social media and were not pleased that he sat in that game. But some love from LeBron for one of his sports heroes, and one of his heroes just generally, announcing that through his foundation and some partnerships, he's going to be donating $2.5 million to the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture here in Washington, D.C., the brand new museum that just opened, for a Muhammad Ali exhibit.
Wow.
And
okay.
He said that, I think of him every day. Without his passion and goals and morals, I just don't know if I'd be sitting here today talking to you about it. So one of his big sports heroes, a big influence in his life, and he's showing some love by opening up the checkbook and giving some money. Now, he's not the only sports star and NBA star to donate money to the museum. Michael Jordan, earlier this year, donated $5 million to that museum, and Magic Johnson and his wife Cookie donated $1 million at least. So a lot of sports fans in the African American community are stepping forward to offer some money to this museum to try to fund some of these exhibits, and especially for Muhammad Ali having such an impact in the sports world and such an impact in American history and culture and an impact in race. So really touching on those big areas. So some nice love for Muhammad Ali, especially after he passed away. He's going to have a very nice exhibit there at the museum honoring his career.
And I think that museum rapidly becoming one of the big tourist destinations here in Washington.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised to see, in fact, if some of the athletes, when they come into town to play the Washington Wizards, if they make a stop there and show some respect.
Show some love.
Show some love. There you go. And it wraps up with love.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the November 17th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for showing the love. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Trafficking in persons, also known as human trafficking or modern-day slavery, is a crime involving the exploitation of someone for the purposes of compelled labor or a commercial sex act through the use of force, fraud, or coercion. Human trafficking is a global problem, and no country is immune, not even the United States. The notion of modern-day slavery is one that touches everybody's conscience, and it is one of fundamental basic human decency, said Secretary of State John Kerry. The fight against human trafficking is about far more than merely doing the right thing, he said. Trafficking in persons is an assault on human rights, and it's a threat to global stability. It undermines the rule of law, it breeds corruption, it spreads disease, it widens the gap between the haves and the have-nots, and it tears whole families apart. So it's counter to every single thing that we're trying to accomplish in the field of development and everything that we would like to see in our communities and in communities elsewhere in the world as we try to live up to the 2030 development goals. Following President Obama's March 2012 call to strengthen federal efforts to combat human trafficking, the President's Interagency Task Force to Monitor and Combat Trafficking in Persons has convened leaders from government, the private sector, advocates, survivors, communities of faith, civil society, law enforcement, and academia to implement a coordinated agenda that prevents trafficking, protects victims, and prosecutes offenders. There is nothing inevitable about trafficking in human beings. That conviction is where the process of change really begins, with the realization that just because a certain abuse has taken place in the past doesn't mean that we have to tolerate that abuse in the future or that we can afford to avert our eyes, wrote Secretary of State Kerry in the introduction to this year's Trafficking in Persons report, which was issued in June. Ending modern slavery isn't just a fight we should attempt. It is a fight we can and must win. While more work is required to tackle the root causes and consequences of human trafficking, the United States continues to be a leader in the global movement to end modern-day slavery. By working together, sharing information, and partnering with a broad range of organizations, the U.S. government continues to explore new and innovative approaches to end the plight of trafficking victims.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. This is James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.